And as you can tell, just by reading the papers, well, you don't make a trade except send these computer freaks, you know, tell them how to pitch or tell them, we got 12 more people, but we don't know what to do with them. I mean, you're in charge of video. Yeah, you're in charge. What we do when you get in charge? So you tell them how to pitch or how to hit. If you don't know how to pitch and catch by the time you get in the big leagues, all the talking ain't gonna do it.
But Wayne, tell me about you and Terry Ryan.
The first time I met him was, it was either 1969 or 1970. That's when he got drafted. You know, he came to Melbourne. And when you got 180 guys, I don't know. I know names because I put them up. But I have no idea if they're pitcher, catcher, or anything like that. So when I met him, and, you know, who knows? I mean, I thought he'd be a pitcher like any other pitcher. But he was in the Whirlpool. Nothing against the Whirlpool. But he spent most of the time. I knew he had to pitch somewhere down the line because you're only there 30 days. Maybe pitch, you know, once you get on the field, you could be a starter, but you might come in spring training. You don't know if you're going to start or relieve. You just, hey, you ready for, can you pitch one inning here, two innings there?
Yeah.
So I didn't say he didn't pitch, but he lived in the he could tell you he lived in the Whirlpool more, you know, than pitching. But he didn't get no high. He might have went to double A, but I wouldn't bet on it. Maybe A ball. But once they leave spring training, I hardly keep up with where they're going. I see them either after spring training, either in double A, or not even A ball, might be in Virginia or Wisconsin Rapids, you know. But I don't see him until next year when they come to spring training. And I know he's been there at least 3 or 4 years before they let him go. Then he went somewhere to be a scout. Then he came back to be assistant farm director, or general manager, assistant with Andy McPhail. So he stayed there with Andy for about 10 or 12 years. And then, of course, I always see him. Sometime when he was a general manager, when I traveled back 2003 or 4, half the time he's on the plane, you know, with us, so I see him on there. But he was a good Joe. I mean, I don't think the game caught up with him like it does now. But I guess Poletti said, you know, we're going a different direction, you know, by hiring these two guys.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't hire by Poletti. They got some kind of committee, who goes around these clubs and say, well, we'll get you a manager or a general manager, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They never make a decision, you know. They always put on Best Buy or some company that goes around the paperwork. Oh, this guy won the pennant. But it never happens.
Yeah.
But like I say, every time, especially when he became general manager, and when he goes to these winter league meetings, or if he sees these other team wins World Series and not us, he'd tell somebody, oh, this is Wayne. Oh, yeah, I know him. He was my trainer when I was in ABUB, but I didn't have the courage to say, I never seen him pitch. He always lived in training. But
yeah.
I mean, even when he got fired, I called him up and I waited a couple of days to cool off. I said, Terry, it wasn't your fault. He says, I know it. And we start talking about what happened the last 5, 6, 7 years. And I'm not knocking scouts. You know what? I knock them, but I don't like them. I mean, they're nice guys. But if you don't sign the right ball players, it ain't going to help you. You know, they last 3 or 4 years. And one may sneak in and get in the big leagues. But like I told him, I said, and you just became a granddaddy, so it's good to sit home 1 year to see the kid. Then I guess he got a little itchy. Went back with Andy over at Philadelphia. So he's still there. This is his third year. And I guess he's happy with Andy. I mean, it wasn't like he was going to take his job, but, you know, TR's got to be, let's see, 1970, that was 40 years ago. He's got to be pushing 60, 62, you know. Enjoy life. You've been up and you've been around, traveling all around the world and stuff like that. take your time and go, you know, with the family. And you know, now he says, I got two great kids now. I said, yeah, but they ain't in school yet. Wait, another 3 or 4 years, they'll be going to school, and you tell Andy, see you later, you know, when they start school, you know, when the kids start getting a bit bigger.
Yeah.
And like I say, the way I got to the big leagues, not because I didn't hustle in this, but also I say, so 1 year, when Gordy got up there, maybe the first or second year, I said I had to do something my 50th year. So that was in 2002. So 2003, I always go up to September and just mess around. They have nothing to do because we have instruction league, but they don't start till late September. So one day, me and T.I. was walking back to the hotel in Cleveland, and you know, all of a sudden it started raining a little bit. I didn't know if he stopped to check the rain out or not. He checked it. He says, Wayne, all these years I've known you, and Gordy knew you, and other people knew you, you belong up here. Spend some good times up here. Have a good time. Of course, it was a good time, but I still had to work, you know, in the clubhouse, you know, which I didn't mind, because I don't like to just sit there, you know, just get my hands dirty. And so I said, well, I got to go home to get my clothes, you know, most of my clothes, because I only brought enough for 3, 4, or 5 days. And so I was up there in 2003. I was starting my 51st season doing something, because in the minor leagues, not with the Twins, but with the Bears, they call them the Bay Bears, whatever it is, they didn't have a clubhouse guy. In the minor leagues, it's hard to get a clubhouse guy. You know, they don't want to work for $50 a month or whatever it is. I said, I'll do it. Came back for my 51st year, and after about 2 weeks, and they called me every day. When you, Steve Little and Gordy said, when you coming, when you coming? I said, I'll be there tomorrow. And I was walking out the back door in the clubhouse, general manager for the Bay Bears. They didn't have nothing to do with Twins. He said, where you going? I see you packing up. I'm going to Minnesota. I like baseball. But these double-A teams, they don't have no, all they want to do is eat and play ball and eat, and, you know. I said, I want to, Lisa, I'm about 70 years old, but no more than that. I was about 65 years old. I said, I'm getting out of here. I want to enjoy life. But we got in the playoffs like 6 years in a row, which we were doing. Then we lose one game and, you know, we're out, or two games, you know. So it started getting rougher and rougher. We didn't go to World Series until we're about 25 years, right? We got in playoffs, but that don't, it's nice, but it's, nobody knows where you finish or where you started.
Yeah.
I mean, even now when we go to Yankees to play one game, the fans say, well, you had a great year. Well, it was great, but it didn't get, they wouldn't know what, right now they know if we was in the playoffs or not, you know, losing that one game.
Yep.
And I worked there, and stayed with Stelly, one of the coaches, because he said, I said, it's pretty expensive. So I stayed with him. We had an apartment together. And it didn't cost me much money, but I enjoyed it and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I came up with the cancer, or so I had operated a gallbladder a couple of years earlier. Then I got the cancer. I said, what else can go wrong? Breaking down. But I enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
Like I say, I was with Gordy for a couple of years in the minors. We had some good times, and then we won a couple of pennants, but nothing. In the minor leagues, pennants don't mean shit. You
know? When did you first run into Ron Gardenhire?
Back in, let's see, I guess 1984, then he got to become a manager. He came to Melbourne the last year he was in the big leagues, and he sent him down there. You know, be a utility guy with the AAA team. You know, he was with the Mets for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He came to us and seen what we had. When he seen the clubhouse in the field, he said, no wonder it took 3 days to get here. He thought it was nice over here. And when he got out of the car, they couldn't find the field, and then he finally, somebody told him. And he says, this is the clubhouse. I showed him the clubhouse, and I mean, he played AAA ball, some, you know. Then the next year, they sent him to either Wisconsin Rapids, the manager, or Vasea, that's a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, 80, 87, 88, and 89, I had him. Yeah, 3 years in Rome. You know, he says, if I ever get in the big leagues back again, I'll bring you up. So it took me 12 years to get back up there. I mean, you know, he was a coach for about a half a dozen seasons.
Yeah.
And he took over when TK became, said, I'm sick of this. And so he took over as manager. It took him a couple of days of trying to figure who's going to be the manager. Like in TK, who, I don't know who TK followed. Was it Gardner or somebody?
No. I think it was, TK came in after Ray Miller,
Maybe that's who it was, because they waited about 2 months. They couldn't figure this until it got narrowed down and TK finally got a job. I mean, they was hustling on doing this, waiting to see who we could get or who we couldn't get. And I guess it followed up to TK. I mean, yeah, TK should get the job, you know, which he did. It did a great job.
Yeah.
Won the 87 and 91.
Yeah.
Then it started going down here, not completely. But after so long, he said, I'm getting out of the game, you know. Get out, you know, was better than being in last place and getting ready to get fired, you know. You can only go so long until the crowd gets a little, you know, raunchy and say, we need a change. And TK was good as long as you win, but when you're losing, you're not worth a damn.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Gordy. I mean, he had a 4 or 5 years that nobody won the playoffs, just or not run it, got in the playoffs for like 4 or 5 years. And then you lose one season when you're not in, and the paper all over it. Get rid of the manager, get rid of the gentleman, get rid of this, get rid of that. And we did. And Molly did good the first year, got in, it went down really straight down here. We lost 103. And then last year we scratched our way in the playoffs. Of course, they spent more time flying back and forth than they did trying to win the game.
Did if the team had a different manager, did that impact you and your job? Did TK want it one way and Gardy a different way or whatever?
When I was in the minor leagues, and all these TKs, which I had for 40 years earlier, and there's Johnny Goro, well, a couple of years, maybe one, two, whatever it was. And I knew Ray Miller, not that, but he was with Baltimore, so other than accidentally running into him and, you know, while I talked to some of the other guys. I mean, I wouldn't say he's a bad guy, but if you ain't got the horses, you could be the greatest manager in the world, you know.
Yep.
Once you get in the big league, if you can't teach these guys, I mean, you don't need to teach them. If you don't know how to pitch or how to hit, time you get to the big league. I don't care if you're Bernanski or Rod Carew or Tony Oliva. If they can't hit, you can't hit for them. You can show them what to do, but sometimes, right now, they don't listen. I mean, they say yes and no, I'll go down hitting the cage. But if they're hitting the same thing, Bob, pop it up, you ain't taught them anything. And see, I've got a couple of security guards, you know. Wayne, you don't like the Twins. I like it when you win. I'm not a second guesser, but you can tell who can play and who can't play, you know. If you hit 240, you think you're having a hell of a season. We released guys hitting 240, but I just said, you know, I just do it a bit. It ain't winning or losing. It's just how they act and how they do the word, you know, the words.
How about Frank Quillacy?
I had Frank, and I had him as a player, and I used to kid him because I had him in double A, and all he did was, he'd play second base. The ball hit his chest, picks up those mouth. And right today, other than the last couple of years, he ain't been doing too good in health-wise. But I used to say, Frank, you still got that same good year back in 1981, 82, whatever year it was, he was in Charlotte. I said, yeah. I said, it ain't even broke in. I said, let me see that glove. Shit. I said, you must have bought this glove last week. He said, no, I had that for about 20 years. I said, you never use it. You use your chest. And he managed, what did he manage, 1 year?
He managed a few years.
Not two. You know, not enough to qualify as him as a manager. Because I used to ask him when he got fired. I know he didn't retire. Cavan, you know, can only put up with so much. I mean, one of the players. I mean, a manager. But I said, Frankie, you never went somewhere. Everybody else gets fired and goes to Chicago or Boston. You never managed that. He said, they knew I was horseshit. I said, well, at least Cavan kept you around to do the radio broadcast.
Yeah, I think Frank picked on himself a little bit.
Yeah. And, well...
Did he take good care of you when you went to Chicago?
Nobody took care of me. That's what I say. They always say, Wayne, you ought to be in the big leagues. And then I did ask Bert one time when he was in charge about Ray Crump and this and that. He told me, he came to Melbourne like once a month or 2 weeks just to pitch a ball game. So I got him in the corner and said, you're the field coordinator, we call our representative. I said, talk to Calvin, see if he can get me up. I said, I've been down here 25 years. And he told me, honestly, he said, anybody can work in the big leagues, you know, pick up a towel, jog, whatever you call it. But nobody would want to be in charge of 180 guys as you can. Nobody, who would want this job? I said, I didn't want this job. It fell on me. I went to be a clubhouse man and a trainer. And this poor guy died, and I found out he was the only one left. He was been there for 50 years before me. I said, that's the only way I can get out of here. And I kept asking Mr. Brophy, after everybody started getting fired up here, I asked him, I said, what did the boss say? He said, you're more valuable down here than he is up there. I said, except for money-wise. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But I like Mr. Griffith. It's good. But he never interfered with like they do here. I mean, when Terry got in charge up here, he always went around to check the minor leagues. We had Mr. Brophy. If he sees something in you, you stay or go to big leagues. It ain't now, they always hang out. Well, let's see what we can do. Like Terry kept going around, I'm not sure what these guys, we just had him a year, so I don't think, the way it sounds, he ain't been around since. What all he does is fire you. Remember Trump when he had all the job? You're fired. Just like he told the other day, he was talking about the National Football League, and Trump said, if it was me, I'd say, fire you, son of a bitch. You can't do that. The President of the United States can't tell the National Football League what to do when they had his knee.
Yeah.
I said, stay off it, sir. We don't like it no more, but we can't tell the National Football League to play a Super Bowl somewhere. We got our own troubles, baseball players and things. Yeah. Trump has enough problems with the world without telling some football team how to kneel down.
Yeah.
Maybe he got a broken leg or something. We don't like it, but we ain't going to bitch about it. If they get tired of kneeling down, they'll stand up and do something right.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I don't know how I got on football, but
no,
I got on this stuff.
We're back to Paul Molitor's been managing for 3 years now.
Yeah, this is
How have you enjoyed working with Paul Molitor?
He's a good guy. He's kind of quiet, but, you know, I talk to him not as much as I do Gordy, but I do talk to him and say, am I in your way or anything like that? Because Gordy knew me, and I knew Molly a couple of years, you know, spring training. You know, he was up there, you know, helping people out and stuff. I mean, I knew him. He always said, how come you don't pick on me like you did Puckett? Because I always got on Puckett a lot when he got in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And not Bird, because Bird's never in the clubhouse in spring training. He might pop in once in a while. But it's always me and Puck, and Rod came over a couple of times because, you know, he was managing or he coaching somewhere else. And,
mm-hmm.
He's only in there maybe 2 weeks at the most, because I always took Carew, I would say, how long are you staying? Not that one who teaches me. I said, I'm only here like 10 or 12 days. I said, that's pretty good, because them guys, they listen, you know, they always get introduced to college. But I mean, like he told me, I'm there to help them. And when I show them how to bun, how to do it, they look at you like, who in the hell are you? Not, I mean, they know who he is, but you know, it's two different worlds. I mean, he retired before some of these guys were even born.
Yeah.
So they heard of him, but he never show them what to do.
Yeah, they never saw him play or could appreciate how good a player he was.
They didn't have film back in the 70s. I mean, they had TV, but not like internet and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
And like I say, when it comes down to me working in clubhouse, you just have a good time and stuff like that. Of course, you got some kind of scout or whoever's in charge of these players, and they always tell me, don't get on these guys and don't do this, they won't come back and all this and that. So I was doing this at West Palm Beach. This was like 30 years ago or something like that. A couple of guys that we had, and I didn't say nothing for about 2 or 3 days. You're not yourself, are you okay? I said, well, Gebhardt or somebody said, don't get on you guys anymore because you guys won't sign next week or something. And the guy said, fuck him. I mean, do what you're doing and have a good time and get on us. He says, you can't hit the ball, you can't throw the ball, you can get on us, but we don't care. But I love it. Just like these guys in that, of course, you missed it. The Violas and all them guys. Excuse me. And your Herbecks and Bird and a few of them guys. Everybody. Well, you seen what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
When Torrey and Morneau and Latroy Hawkins came in. And when I asked somebody, they said, you know, they didn't ask them. They were supposed to speak to the guys. But all they said when they came in, where's Wayne? Where's Wayne? So they came in here and spent maybe, 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And the other guy took over my job and said, yeah, they were supposed to come. All they did was, where's Wayne? Where's Wayne? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I preach. I don't care what they give you. They can give me $100,000. I wouldn't know. It's, at least I got them as friends when they come in.
Yeah.
Not that I'm bragging, but at least when somebody says, where's Wayne? When there's 140 guys down there, you know, mm-hmm. When a guy come in and say, hello, how you doing? You okay?
It's always nice.
Yeah. So it's nicer, more than money.
Yeah.
Money can't buy you happiness. Because
that's
of
what they say.
They could have won World Series in 22 years or something like that.
Yep. That's right. Yeah, you've made a lot of good friends over the years.
Yes. I mean, even in the vision team, I mean, you know, I met Tommy and a couple of guys I couldn't remember names, but hey, how you doing, Wayne? What's new? You doing okay? And
yeah.
Of course, I don't say, hey, what's your name? Because I figured they're smart enough to know me when I, you know, see them, but they don't realize this. 16 or 17 clubs in this American League. When I go in there, the first one is what's the catcher name? Got hit, killed by Pete Rose, Ray Fosse.
Ray Fosse.
Every time we play, so if I don't see him, he'll keep looking for me. Because last year I couldn't find him, and Ray says, yeah, I kept looking. You either here or there. You're not around, you know, you just don't spit in one spot. I've known Ray for. And we always talk about him getting hurt. Not for, you know, mean, but
yeah.
I say I feel sorry, you know, exhibition game and Pete Rose came down. I said, yeah, if I hadn't been normal, you know, hoping that he'd just slide past me, I didn't know he was going to come through the air like Superman, you know, hit me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, we all know how Pete Rose is. I've been knowing him for about 20 years, but he knows me, but he just pushed. I know his son better than I know Pete. And Pete's okay. And then what's the manager's name? With the Dodgers years ago. He's retired now.
Lasorda.
I mean, I like him as a person. The first time I met him was about 50 years ago. We had our winter league meetings in the Dodgers, you know what I mean? Whatever mm-hmm. the league was. Hello, Cowboy, you know, giving me shit. And so I respect him, but, you know, when he kidded me, I can take the kidding. But, you know, sometimes he cuts you down to size. And so we got, when I met him again about 3 years ago, he says, how old Tommy's talking about me? I said, listen, you're older than I am. And I said, we talked about baseball in the 50s because when he pitched for Dodgers, he was supposed to be in our, we had three double-A clubs, and Mobile was one of them. But it so happened that he got on the Fort Worth team more than the Mobile team, so I didn't get to meet him. But I knew, I mean, you know. See, at least one thing I could not forget. I forget his name, but I knew he was with the Dodgers.
Yeah, we all forget names.
But
and it's easier to forget them as you get older.
That's right. Yeah.
Some names you just want to forget.
Yeah, that's what I say. You know, like, just like I say with baseball. What gets me is, I mean, even if I was 50 years old, I couldn't come. I mean, I could if I want to. But when you got 15 guys with these video stuff and showing these guys how to hit, I mean, the game has changed so much that I wouldn't forget, but it's hard to forget how many. It's supposed to be 25, but now it's about 40, you know, doing the videos and stuff in this clubhouse, you know, tell them how to hit when they're supposed to. They keep saying, we're getting this guy to show them how to hit. Once you get to big leagues, if you can't hit by the time you get to AAA, being up here ain't much. Sure, it's money-wise, but there ain't been no baseball. I can't make it no sense.
Yeah, but you watch some of the Twins games and so forth, and you know, they make some errors, both mentally and physically.
Well, that's what I'm saying, the last 10 years, since
you
Gordy left.
What's going on?
Since Gordy left, we had a good program. You know, sure, you have a bad year, but when you make these errors, it's a mental error. If they hit just a ball down between your legs, you can get them on. If you can't catch the ball when it's between your legs, sure, you make a stupid play by catching the ball and it gets away from you.
Yeah.
That's a mental error. Say, hey, I can't get that ball. I'll die for it. But then before you long, you're making a single into a triple.
Yeah.
But I mean,
or, you know, throwing the outfielders, throwing to the wrong bases,
oh, that's
things
what I mean.
Like
those
that.
Those should be regular errors, but those are mental errors. If you made three errors and two out of three is mental errors, you're going to lose. I mean, it's just like football. And I hate to say it, you keep throwing the ball in the air, it's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to intercept it. In baseball, if you're on defense, you catch a ball, that's good, you got the team out. But you don't have to worry about, in the offense, us throwing the ball or us hitting the ball, and you can't catch the ball. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's mental errors. I mean,
yeah.
But you're right. If you throw the ball to the wrong base, that's mental.
Yeah.
You know, if the guy's going from first to third, you got to have in your head that you got to throw it to third base. You can't throw it to the cutoff man and have him, what the hell am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Kirby Puckett the best outfielder you ever saw play?
Yes, but I presume, I'm just presuming, in 65 or 75 when we got in, they must have been some pretty good outfielders in his days. I mean, he went about 10 good years. I give him, you know, 82 to 92. That's about 10 good years. But he never got hurt. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't think I've seen him run into the stone wall like Spahn did or these other guys. They always keep saying, and it's a bad thing to say, oh, he's another Kirby Puckett, or he's another. It's like a quarterback. There's no more quarterbacks. Puckett, you can do all the things in the world. Everybody makes mistakes. And don't compare him with somebody else. We have hit, like Harmon. He's a good hitter, hit the home runs. But he's no Babe Ruth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everybody says, so no. He might hit 35 home runs. He's going to be the next Kirby Puckett or the next Babe Ruth. Well, you don't want to compare yourself with Babe Ruth or Kirby Puckett. You want to be your own.
Yep.
You know, you want somebody to say, hey, that's Snowden. You're going to be another Snowden. No, be your own self. Be Joe Doe. Don't worry about him. He's finished or he's tired or something like that. Don't ever say you want to compare. It's just like Bert. Hey, he's another Jim Cott. Well, maybe he is, but don't compare yourself with a Jim Cott over Mudcat Grant or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Make your own. You want to get in the Hall of Fame not because you got Kirby's credentials. because yeah. Kirby did this and did that. And like I say, you always
want to like be your own man.
Huh? Yeah, it's just like being a clubhouse man. Are you better than this guy? Are you better than that guy? You're better than Ray Crump. You better. You can go back 40 years. No, you want to prove your own self.
Yeah.
You know, hey, if somebody come up there, hey, Wayne, you're good. I want you. You don't have to be as good as Ray Crump or anything else. Do the best you can.
Yeah.
I don't want to be compared by anybody else. I get my own title. You don't see these other guys, clubhouse guys, riding these guys like I do. I talk to a lot of people. These guys are salesmen, and he hears me do this and do that. How you do that? I'm doing what I've been doing for 30 years. Well, you wasn't like so-and-so. I said, no, I don't want to be like so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Why is so-and-so ain't still with us?
Yeah. That's a fact.